RCR with Paul Brennan.
It's Perigo's perspective time again on RCR. Lindsay joins us. Are you keeping up, Lindsay? Are you keeping up?
No, I can't. I can't keep up.
Is your head spinning?
It is spinning. It'll happen so fast your head will spin. How many times does he say that? And that is what is happening. That's one time when use of the term literally, which is overused, is literally true. Literally spinning is my head. I suppose anything involving Elon Musk is going to proceed at rocket pace. And this is certainly this is Operation Warp Speed applied to everything.
Can you remember a time when things felt like they were going this fast?
Sort of. The initial stages of the Rogernomics revolution here were reminiscent, if you like, of this. But, oh, I would say this, that was a 1 out of 10 as opposed to this is 10 out of 10. Roger Douglas used to say, give them so many moving targets that they won't know which one to shoot at. And he applied that quite effectively for 3 years until David Longy brought an end to it. But this is way, way, way beyond that. This is just amazing. This has exceeded my best expectations. And it is very hard to keep up.
Keep up. Keep up, everybody. Keep up. All right, we're going to keep up. Floor is yours, Lindsay. Let's go.
In his historic address to Congress last week, President Trump, lovingly known on the perspective as Orange Man Badass, listed some of the disgusting and dopey scams Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency had uncovered as recipients of American taxpayer money. Here's a sample.
Just listen to some of the appalling waste we have already identified. $22 billion from HHS to provide free housing and cars for illegal aliens. $45 million for diversity, equity, and inclusion scholarships in Burma. $40 million to improve the social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants. Nobody knows what that is. $8 million to promote LGBTQI+. In the African nation of Lesotho, which nobody has ever heard of. $60 million for indigenous peoples and Afro-Colombian empowerment in Central America. $60 million. $8 million for making mice transgender.
Trump had signed an executive order pausing the outflow of funds under the auspices of USAID for such ludicrous causes. The woke faction of the judiciary sprang into action. Quoting influencer Amy Mech on X, quote, Allahu Akbar, Islamic judge Amir Ali, just overruled Trump's foreign aid freeze. Your tax dollars are flowing out again. It's happening right now. Judge Amir Ali, the first Muslim and Arab American federal judge in D.C., just ordered the Trump administration to lift its freeze on foreign aid. This three-week pause was meant to protect American tax dollars, but Ali overrode it, sending U.S. money back into the global giveaway machine. And just when you think it can't get worse, this judge has a lifetime appointment. That's right. Amir Ali will sit on the bench for life, shaping America's future. And who put him there? Joe Biden. But here's what they don't want you to know. Ali isn't just a Muslim judge. He's a Canadian-born immigrant, a naturalized U.S. citizen, and a left-wing activist. Did I mention that he was the executive director at the MacArthur Justice Center? That's the same radical organization that called for defunding the police and demanded that charges be dropped against violent BLM rioters. This isn't just one judge. This is a coordinated infiltration. How much more will we tolerate? Unquote. To be clear, the judge's ruling pertained to $2 billion of the tens of billions of funds being scammed. Team Trump took the matter to the Supreme Court, supposedly conservative by a margin of 6-3. Astoundingly, the court upheld the Muslim judge by a vote of 5-4. Well, not astounding at all, really. The court is actually woke by 5-4. The Chief Justice, John Roberts, ostensibly conservative, has no balls and bends to leftist mobs. He voted to uphold the blocking of the freeze. The other snake in the grass is Amy Coney Barrett, a Trump appointee from his first term, supposedly an originalist and textualist, that is, committed to the Constitution's original meaning rather than a woke reimagining thereof. She's a turncoat. She joined No Balls Roberts and the openly woke judges 5-4 to uphold the blocking of the freeze. Conservative Justice Samuel Alito wrote in his dissenting opinion, "Does a single district court judge who likely lacks jurisdiction have the unchecked power to compel the government of the United States to pay out and probably lose forever $2 billion taxpayer dollars? The answer to that question should be an emphatic no. But a majority of this court apparently thinks otherwise. I am stunned." Another district court judge, incidentally, is blocking the deportation of the ringleader of pro-Hamas riots at Columbia University as we speak. This was not the first time Comey and Roberts had voted woke. Last year, they voted in favor of allowing the federal border agents of Beijing Biden, the bribed bastard, to dismantle razor fencing set up by Texas agents to stop illegal immigrants entering America. Now remember, Biden's flooding of the border with illegal immigrants was not down to incompetence or Alzheimer's. It was deliberate policy, and it violated immigration law in a manner tantamount to treason. Amy Coney Barrett helped give it the imprimatur of the Supreme Court. How could she do that when, as a nominee seeking confirmation, she had said this?
Tell me why textualism and originalism are important to you.
Because I think that both statutes and the Constitution are law. They derive their democratic legitimacy from the fact that they have been enacted, in the case of statutes, by the people's representatives, or in the case of the Constitution, through the Constitution-making process. And I, as a judge, have an obligation to respect and enforce only that law that the people themselves have embraced. As I was saying earlier, it's not the law of Amy, it's the law of the American people. And I think originalism and textualism, to me, boil down to that, to a commitment to the rule of law, to not disturbing or changing or updating or, you know, adjusting in line with my own policy preferences what that law requires.
And yes, that hideous fry-quack again, gratuitous upward inflection, quacking, and vocal fry. I remember wondering at the time how someone who sounded so dumb could possibly not be, could be a principled originalist, textualist, and conservative, could possibly even know what those terms meant. Ostensibly, she's a Catholic. Has she perchance converted to Islam? People are wondering if Nigel Farage has. He's had no balls ever since a Muslim, a very rich one, became the chairman of the Reform Party, of which Nigel is, for now at least, leader. Nigel, who became leader on the strength of his campaign against boat refugees and illegal immigration, most of it Muslim, of course, suddenly announced that Britain would simply have to get used to a surging Muslim population and mass deportations were undoable.
But the nub of it is, we have a Muslim population in Britain growing by about 75% every 10 years. Right? That's just where we are.
Mm-hmm.
If we politically alienate the whole of Islam, we will lose. We'll lose.
So how does one include
them? We will lose. By 2050, goodness knows what kind of a terrible state we're going to be in.
Oh, well then, deport all the illegals. That will take care of the problem, won't it, Nigel?
It's a political impossibility to deport hundreds of thousands of people. We simply can't do it. At the moment, it's a political impossibility.
But is it your ambition?
No. Yeah, I'm not going to get dragged down the route of mass deportations or anything like that. Yeah, I mean, people are always going to come and go, and we are a country that's engaged in international trade, and we have relationships around the world through the Commonwealth, etc. But yeah, we have to aim at a balanced migration policy.
But net zero still means hundreds of thousands of people coming into Britain, immigrants coming into Britain. Isn't that too many?
It may well be, but we have to start somewhere.
As Trump says in America that he wants mass deportations. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants are in Britain at the moment. Some estimates say the number could even be in, you know, a million plus. So do you support deporting all of those people?
It's impossible to do. Literally impossible to do.
In terms of the atmosphere in Britain, are you concerned that there is a rising level of anti-white hatred?
I'm just concerned about a deeply divided society.
This is the same Nigel who once said Islamic and Western values were incompatible, which they are, and expressed horror when a poll among British Muslims showed a third of them want Sharia law, meaning the other two-thirds were committing taqiyya. So what happened? Is it a case of follow the money? That recently installed Riches Blazers, chairman of Reform, Mohammed Zia Mohammed Yusuf Mohammed, is he calling the tune now? Certainly seems that way. Mohammed Zia and Mohammed Farage have just cancelled Reform's best MP, Rupert Lowe, who does advocate mass deportation, and they're now engaged in an odious smear campaign against Rupert. Reform's surging membership has suddenly started to plummet. Reform voters did not vote for milksops. Upon Mohammed Nigel Mohammed Farage Mohammed for his capitulation and betrayal, I bestow the Goebbels Award.
Hitler has only got one ball, Goering has two but very small. Hitler has something similar.
All right, but what explains King Charles? Why was this heard from Windsor Castle a week ago? To Charles? Mohammed Charles Mohammed? Give me Charles Martel any day. Apparently, this sort of thing has been going on since 2006.
The rights of Muslim women to property and inheritance and to the conducting of business were rights prescribed by the Quran 1400 years ago. Some of these rights were novel even to my grandmother's generation. Many of the traits on which modern Europe prides itself came to it from Muslim Spain. Diplomacy, free trade, open borders, the techniques of academic research, of anthropology, etiquette, fashion, various types of medicine, hospitals. Islam is part of our past and our present.
Well, now, those claims are outlandish and await a future perspective. But remember, Charles had his coronation oath changed from defender of the faith, singular, to defender of the faiths, plural. What the hell is going on? For heartbreaking evidence of the capacity of Islam to intimidate people into submission, here's one of my heroes, at least he was, Richard Dawkins, fearless, or so I thought, opponent of the irrational and the primitive, on a par with the late Christopher Hitchens in his opposition to all belief in the supernatural. Here he is, a mute, quivering jelly, talking to Piers Morgan.
There's been a big debate about this ISIS bride, Shamima Begum, whether she should be allowed to come back to this country. Do you have a view about that?
I'd rather not say.
You'd rather not say?
I haven't studied it enough.
Well, she was married to an ISIS fighter.
I know.
She was a young, but she was 15 when she went out there. The debate really is, was she groomed to be part of this terror group in Syria? And as such, should we show mercy and allow her back to this country?
Yes, I'm not going to say about that.
Are you worried about, do you get threats because of the positions you've taken on some of these things?
Yeah.
When you saw what happened to Salman Rushdie, didn't send a shudder through?
Yeah.
Are you saying no, you don't want to talk about it? Or...
Yes.
Right. I mean, that's interesting in itself. Because there are areas which you would prefer not to discuss.
Yes. I should have said that before we started.
Meanwhile, news from home that Islam's biggest champions here, the woke fascist Hard Labour Party, the Shoplifters Party, and Tepahati Apartheid, are polling comfortably ahead of the governing coalition. Dear Allah, do people really want to go back to this?
Remember that unless you hear it from us, it is not the truth, and we will continue to provide everything you need to know.
Unless you hear it from us, it's not the truth. Did she read 1984 and think it was an instruction manual? Safe and effective? That was the truth? Tell it to the families of those who died from it. Seymour was in on it too, remember, and National as well. Please, New Zealand, let's not vote their ilk back in ever again. Defund politicians, the Uni Party, who, to a man and woman, stood behind that barricade on their six-figure salaries and bought and paid for Marxist media maggotry, Pravda, by their side, looked down on the proles defending their right to refuse medical treatment and not to be experimented upon, and turned the hoses on them, and unleashed headbanging upon them, and called them a river of filth. They are the filth. The Uni Party. Vote them all out. Begone, filth! Actually, I unreservedly apologize to filth for comparing it to politicians. Now, apropos nothing in particular, some light relief. Here is an old TV commercial that popped up in my YouTube feed. It's entirely hilariously innocent, but that wouldn't save it from the woke fascist thought police if they got to hear about it, so please don't tell them. It's an old TV ad for a culinary delicacy comprised of offal, bacon, pork, herbs, and breadcrumbs called, well, hear for yourself.
Hello, faggot lovers everywhere. I've a message for you from Birdseye. Birdseye faggots will appeal to your whole family. They've made them with lashings of gravy, but they've gone easy on the spice because kids don't like them too spicy, apparently. Birdseye even suggests that people who don't like faggots could enjoy these. They live in hope.
You know, that could be right.
I have to say, I laughed my faggoty nipples off. Play it again, Paul.
Hello, faggot lovers everywhere. I've a message for you from Birdseye. Birdseye faggots will appeal to your whole family. They've made them with lashings of gravy, but they've gone easy on the spice because kids don't like them too spicy, apparently. Birdseye even suggests that people who don't like faggots could enjoy these. They live in hope.
You know, that could be right.
But now, in more poignant mood as I close this perspective, let us bask in the glory of Britannia, Britannia, not Britannistan, and renew our resolve that no one, not Britons, not anyone, ever, ever, ever shall be slaves.